On this episode of the Reflex Blue Show, Diana Valentine and I speak to guests Jim Krause and Justin Ahrens at the How Design Live event in San Francisco.
It's committed.
Good thing you have free time. Excellent.
Gotta create space.
Welcome, everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. We are in room 3000 of the... What is this convention center that we're in here in San Francisco?
Moscone
Center.
The Moscone West. I'm your host, Donovan Beery. I have co-host Diana Valentine with me today.
Yay.
And we have guests Jim Krause and Justin Ahrens with us. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Excellent. Really excellent.
Yeah. And verbose.
Yes.
Now we'll start with Jim. Jim, what are you doing at the How Conference? What are you speaking about? What's your mission this year?
Well, I like my mission this year because I am talking about... I like all of my mission, but two of my components are especially nice. I'm doing three little talks. Two of them are just about like what I do when I'm not working and how it ties in with how I'm working and the whole work-life balance thing. And I'm kind of a geek about that.
Like, is it a myth?
Which part is it a myth?
The balance thing?
Yes, it's a myth. There is no balance. But you can briefly experience it as the pendulum swings from one extreme to the other. And on that sweet
I like that
spot.
As a new title, As the Pendulum Swings.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a wonderful soap opera about design and work-life balance.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, Justin, you've written a whole book on work-life balance. So do you agree with this, that you can't
100%,
really experience it?
My last chapter is there is no balance. It's all a mindset and you know, how you approach your life and work. And I agree 100%.
I like the whiplash factor, you know? Just working my hiney off till I can't work anymore, and then building in like giant pods of staring into space and eating cheese.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
What's the preferred cheese?
Yeah, I was about to ask.
There's a couple. Saint Andre cheese is kind of blows my mind. Triple cream, like lay down food, you know?
Mm, okay. It sounds delicious. But do you pair that with wine or?
With a chaise lounge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes with its own cheese.
All right, I like that.
And what's your other talk about, Jim?
I'll be talking about a thing called logos and how to create them.
Ooh.
And is that with your new book on the logo?
Yep. I just a couple years ago I completed a book called The Logo Brainstorm Book, and all my pictures and my talk are going to come from that book. And I think it's going to be a fun talk to do, but it's more the hands-on variety that you might expect at the HAL conference.
Okay. And your
so you have hands-on logos? Because that sounds exciting.
No, that's a little misleading.
If a logo doesn't have two hands wrapped around it, it's not a logo.
Or like a puppy and a cat hugging, like Jessica.
Right,
Fish
that's my favorite.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's beautiful.
And your third talk is actually with Diana, is that correct?
Yes, and that's the talk where I can't go wrong. I mean, even if I screw up, Diana's on stage and she'll find a way to make it all look fabulous, as always.
I'll pay him later.
Yeah.
No, it's
good. We tag-teamed this one last year, and it was pretty fun. I will say I was a little tight on stage. You know, I'm with an extreme extrovert professional.
Right.
I feel kind of the same way in this crowd, you know, masters of interviewing, the great Justin Ahrens, Diana Valentine. And, you know, but then again, I can just kind of roll with it and ride
the
wave.
I'm concerned about your tightness. We should talk about... Pre-talk stretching. I'm very committed to that.
Tell me more about that after this. If
all right.
Not now.
So I'm really worried about your calves and your hamstrings. So you have to make sure that you stretch beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's actually incredibly wonderful if you do it on stage while people are walking in.
Right.
You can do
just
it during my
butt
first
out.
2 minute section. You can just stretch.
Okay, facing the audience, facing away from.
Hey,
I
whatever
think away.
You. Yeah.
Give them a little prize while they're at it.
Right. I'll be wearing short shorts.
Oh, that's perfect.
It is.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The key is to look at them in their eyes when you turn around. And just make it really
through your
beautiful.
Legs as you're,
Depending
on your
Peek-a-boo.
Flexibility schedule.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but I'm just saying, I'd highly recommend that.
Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
Or like over the shoulder if you can't really get all the way down.
Yeah.
That's kind of hot too.
I like all that.
Yeah.
See, I'll be doing it.
That's what happens. How conference magic.
I didn't realize there was a full... I mean, I've heard like rock stars, they like lose weight as they're on tour because, you know, they just kind of run so much on stage. I didn't realize that the... House speaking was kind of the same thing.
Oh, it gets sweaty.
Yeah, we believe in lunges.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you, I mean, you really do need to stretch here in San Francisco because just walking down the sidewalk,
hills,
they're like 45-degree angles there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can be brutal.
I agree. It's even worse when you've had a few adult beverages and think that you know your way back to the hotel, right. And all the streets are on an angle.
So it makes a really long hill when you're weaving.
Yeah. And somehow, somehow Siri doesn't know where she's going.
Well, and Google Maps will lead you up this pyramidal 45-degree hill, only to find out that you take a right-hand turn and go all the way back downhill to the next thing. So Google doesn't take elevation into account.
It's helping. It thinks it's helping.
Yeah. It gets you there, but it's a workout.
It fixed the algorithm. Now, speaking of, like, fixing things as the year, is your guys' speech this year, the 30 and 60, the exact same as last time?
Word for word. We've been memorizing exactly.
Did you guys, unlike Google, you just found perfection on the first shot and you're just going to...
We're not going to mess with it.
See, where you're tight and you can memorize stuff, I'm allergic to memorization. Right. So basically, you're in for a surprise for our talk because it'll be whatever it is.
We need to talk,
And since this isn't going to go out until after your talk's over, do you guys have like a new tip? Because the 30 thing, the 30 and 60 was basically... 30 like things you could use in your own creativeness over in a 60-minute span. So you guys have like a new tip that you guys can each give?
I think that was the get a mentor one. That was new for sure.
Could have been. Yeah. I can't remember what's new. I think we did throw in a couple new things.
Yeah.
Elise, bless her heart, and I love how she's doing the Creative Freelancers Conference. She is a little more business-minded than maybe either Diana or I are, and I don't claim to be a business guru. So she wanted us to pack a little bit more precise business tips, as much as we know on the topic, into our talk. But I still think it's heavily loaded toward the right brain side of things. We might get fired after this talk.
And I think that was in service to the sort of like an undercurrent that Elise is really promoting, which is building confidence.
Now for our listeners out there, can you tell them who Elise is?
Elise Benin created the Creative Freelancer Conference in 2008 with Peleg Top. And so I've been lucky enough to speak at every Creative Freelancer Conference, which feels good to be a veteran. I think that the differences were more about having a pragmatic action to take so that people could leave the room really having a giant, like, cornucopia of things to choose from.
Wonderful big words you used there.
Cornucopia. Yeah. What was the other one?
It started with a P. I forgot already.
Plethora? Did I use plethora?
No, I would have recognized
you
that.
In my heart of hearts, I wanted to use plethora.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about what Justin's doing here at the How. What are you doing here?
I have no idea.
All right.
I love that you're allergic to memorization. I'm stealing that, by the way.
Yeah. It really makes me hivey.
Now, Justin.
Not in a good way.
What are you doing now? Like, how did they let you back in?
So we know you've been drinking, weaving, stretching.
Right. Yes. And moisturizing. It's very important. Yes. And drinking a lot of water, you know. I'm excited about this year. I really want to focus on the concept of story. And, you know, a lot of times people ask us our creative process and you know, what inspires you and all that sort of thing. And so I'm going to kind of dig into that through the vehicle of movies and film. And it sounds really boring, but it's going to be really exciting.
What does story do for you? Like, what's the juice in storytelling for you?
Well, I think for me, well, for all of us, it's when we have that moment where we see something differently or we're sort of moved to just change perspective. It's often because we're hit with something that is got an amazing narrative quality to it. And so for me, you know, a lot of people will go, you know, there's so many great creatives here. You know, you see Victoria's work or Jessica Hish or whoever's showing work. I think that's great, but often the great work has story behind it. And I don't think we explore that enough. You know, we can learn. The great thing about the HAW Conference is you come here and learn, you know, tips and tricks on how to be better.
I got some ticks
last year. all over the place.
Boston's dicey.
It is dicey. And we're going back there.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Anyways, next year's in Boston.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds like that narrative lets us connect to each other in a different way than pragmatic lists of things or to-dos.
Right. I think we're built that way. It's kind of in our DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, just as a race, right? Like, stories are the things that help us remember different products or messages. And when we look at things, we want to see ourselves in that story. Mm-hmm. And I think that we too often don't explore that enough. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, we can come here and learn how to code something differently or new technology, whatever mm-hmm. else. And I think, and be inspired by great work. But I've discovered just over the last couple of years that as a firm, we've been trying to figure out how to explore story, create space for story, mm-hmm. understand story. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to talk about that.
Okay. And does it help to have a movie theater right across the street from the Moscone here?
Well, it does, and it also helps to be friends with Stefan Mumau, because mm-hmm. I think I'd been in San Francisco for 2 hours, and I ended up in a movie theater yesterday with him. So that was great.
What'd you guys catch?
We saw World War Z.
How is the story in that?
Well, I read the book, so yes, I'm a geek, and zombies.
How intellectual.
It's got a lot of pictures in the book.
Yeah,
It's a graphic novel.
Great to put. Well, see, I think, I'm a Brad Pitt fan. I think he can be dreamy at times. I mean, I think he's brilliant in, like, you know, 12 Monkeys and Fight Club and all that sort of thing.
I'd watch him stretch.
Snatch is great. Yes, I would help him stretch, actually. and I think that it wasn't overdone. You know, I think actually it was better than Rotten Tomatoes gives it. I like it.
There was some subtlety.
Yeah, it was controlled, you know, like if you saw Man of Steel, it was like...
I haven't yet.
I just want to know how the explosions
of all people,
were.
You have not seen Man of Steel?
It's only been out by the time of this recording, like what, a week or so? And I know that's bad.
Wow. But I thought you'd be there opening night.
Yeah, well...
How many Superman statues or figurines do you have?
I'm taking like a week off here.
He's got a little baby,
home, and I've got a baby.
Yeah, but how many Superman figurines do you have?
Just so 50. Cute.
Yeah,
so
I mean, cute. It's not like you're a fan or anything.
Yeah, It's the schedule with the child that is...
None of what you're going to say is going to be satisfying to Justin.
Yeah.
He's on you.
Yeah.
Justin has 4 kids. He knows more than anybody. I'm shocked he even was allowed to
get a little
more.
Just pile them in the car, man.
That's right.
Make it happen.
That's right.
Yeah, she's
baby earplugs and
how old
blinders.
Is she now?
9 months.
Yeah, she probably won't sit there quietly, so yeah.
And it's a long one, too.
It is a long one.
Yeah. I'll see it in the theater. I just haven't, so yeah.
So I won't say anything about my opinion about it, other than the fact that I think they lost a little bit of control in the storytelling.
Okay.
But I would see it in the theater, for sure. Okay.
And are you where you speak? Like, you're at the actual How conference is where you're speaking.
Yeah, I think I'm on Tuesday, which is the second to last day, I think. Yeah.
Closing. Penultimate. Yeah. That would be another P, big P word. That's next to last day.
I like that. Okay. Last year I was in the death slot, you know, like the closing day, like right before the closing keynote. Uh-huh. So I'm glad I'm not in that slot.
Oh, where everyone's just checking out of their hotels and
right.
stuff?
And mentally checking out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. What do you think about, now, have you guys talked to each other before about the work-life balance?
No, I keep it all to myself.
Yeah.
Except when I'm
until he's
paid
forced.
To.
Right.
Because you guys have both spoken about this. This is kind of fascinating. It's something that, I mean, what is it that brought you to want to speak about this and write about it? And
it's a topic that I'm, like I said, I'm kind of nerdy about. And I like touchy-feely sort of things among designers and like, okay, forget about billing cycles and meeting strategies. And let's get real. Like, how are we going to do this and not go crazy? Because we're going to have some longevity to get good at it. And I'm a big fan of enjoying my life. I really am. And I'm not a workaholic. Well, depends how you know, 10 hours a day.
I would challenge you
on
that.
Yeah, it's all relative. But
you work when you're working.
And I don't when I'm not. I'm registering and trademarking that phrase. Work when you're working and don't when you're not. That's my new...
I just tweeted that. Is that okay?
As long as you put, like, you know, registered trademark
right,
Jim Grounds.
Right. And $35.
Right. Done.
At this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's my... And I may work hard, but not as hard as I play. Like, you've seen a little bit of both. And
he's a hardcore player.
What's the big play activity?
Well, since you asked, I can't... don't get me started talking about motorcycle racing, because that's my play activity. I found something that clears my head like nothing else, and it's going 160 miles an hour and braking for dear life and dragging your knee on the ground. And
he's fast and apparently good, like you win.
I wear like a superhero costume. Speaking of Superman, you wouldn't recognize me. I mean, I claim it's me in those photographs.
Yeah.
It's like a reflective helmet.
All right, so here's what Donovan wants to ask. So I'll ask for him. Do you wear a codpiece? Is there any sort of protective...
between
engineering
us,
down there.
No, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I just risk it. I go for it. It kind of I like risk. If I wore a cod piece, I think I would just it'd be too easy.
Hmm.
I think there's a race now between my firm and Justin's firm on who will have a merchandise cod piece with our logo on it first.
I like that.
Mm, I like that too.
Yeah.
Or maybe one with like airbags, so you only use it when you need it.
Right, I like that.
You don't want those airbags.
Innovation,
to PAL
conference.
I wanted to be.
It might be worse. It might be worse to deploy out. Oh,
that's good.
Right.
Yeah.
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 We could design that.
Okay. So, Justin, I'm curious about this life work balance thing too. Was there a point at which did you reach some edge that made you want to not only deal with it within your own self, but share it with others? Share this story with others?
Yeah, and I think that I think you guys could for sure relate. I think in our business, we're sort of designed not to turn it off, mm-hmm. right? This is kind of how we're built. Like, we look around at the world and we see things, and they're either beautiful or not beautiful to us, you know. And I'm generalizing there, of course. And it's figuring out when you do need to sort of slow down that radar, that perception, and realize that there's so many other beautiful things in life that we need to enjoy. And, you know, as you get older, things that you thought were important aren't not as important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, Jim, but I got to the point where I thought, man, I wish someone would have told me this like 5-10 years ago in my career.
Exactly.
And so... And I think it's just one of those topics that will always keep coming up. And, you know, we look at the sort of our design heroes out there, and I'd be willing to bet you ask every one of them, and they all have this issue or struggle with this issue at some point or another. So maybe it's in all fields, but I think especially in the creative field, mm-hmm. It's a real, we don't have a 9-to-5 job.
Well, it's an identity, not a job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You live in a way that, you know, hopefully fuels your work, and you work in a way that fuels your life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes it's really hard to figure out, you know, are those compartmentalized or are they the same? And so I spent time like, is there a formula? Like, do I work X amount and do this? And then means I get this amount of happiness. And I realized that that's all bullshit and that I needed to, you know, adjust my parameters. And so the book and the talk came out of just trying it out and struggling and meeting guys like you and talking about it. And I think that will probably be a topic that's always...
In touch with my masculine side.
But it's one of those things I think we'll always probably talk about it and explore it. And
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm bummed that I won't be here on Tuesday to hear.
Because it's your birthday.
Well, that's not why I'm leaving, but yeah, it is my birthday.
That's why I would be leaving. I'm going to celebrate your birthday.
I'm going to celebrate your birthday, too.
Are we celebrating by racing motorcycles?
We're making a cod piece. That's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
First photos.
First prototype.
We'll bedazzle a cod piece for Jim's birthday. Act surprised.
Yeah.
We have pugs.
No way.
Yeah, we have two pugs. We got one rescue, and that dog is not bright.
What are their names?
Well, Johnny is not bright. I mean, he is not.
Now, when you say not bright, what do you mean by not bright? Like,
is that like runs into glass doors? Or?
Right.
No, he's just not a smart dog. Like, he is not. He might be one of the dumbest dogs we've met.
And, so he's dumber than the baby at this point?
Yeah, and he doesn't learn. I mean, we've had him for 5 years, and he's never going to learn more.
Like, are you trying to get him to, like, do typesetting or Photoshop work?
He'll, like, regress back.
Learn
like,
words.
You're like, do you not remember, like, how to go outside? You know, I mean, we have a dog door, and you're like, really? And the other dog, Homer might be the smartest pug we've met. So it's
probably even more of an extreme because you have a super smart one and not so smart one.
Yeah, and they are extremes on this level.
Well, then Johnny can be the sidekick. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they love each other?
Well, Homer tolerates Johnny because I think he knows that he's in charge because he's smarter. But Johnny thinks he's in charge because, you know, he just thinks he dominates.
Sure.
But it's really not.
Hmm.
You know. But they're unique things. So Jim, you're into pugs now here.
Well, my son has a pug, and you claim that Homer is possibly the most intelligent pug.
Well, the one I've met. You know, met
well, you've never met Magnus.
Okay.
And well, Magnus.
Even the first way he says it.
Can we talk about Magnus. How awesome Magnus is?
Magnus. Yeah. Well, my son is really clever with naming, and he had all kinds of alternatives: Aristotle, Magnus. You know, whatever. I don't know what the choices were, but I just never appreciated pugs until my son had one. And I'm a convert. There's nothing like snuggling with pugs. Smart pugs. But they do sneeze in your face.
Yeah, they're...
Is that a dominance thing?
It's a sign of affection.
And it's like having, like, no nose.
Now help me out, because I've never owned a pug, so how big is a pug, like, full grown?
A pug's about 20 pounds.
Okay. And so it's not like a toy, a little tiny...
Teacup or anything.
Yeah,
but, no, so but they were
depends
bred...
on how many treats you feed it.
So they're, like, yeah. bred, like, 3,000 years ago in China from, like, mastiffs. So somehow they shrunk them.
Opposite, yeah.
They, like, shrunk them fast.
They're feisty, though. They maintain the feist.
Well, they maintain the big dog personality because of that. Where, like, most little dogs, they have a different personality.
Sure.
Pugs actually have the personality of, like, a giant breed. And they also have, like, a full set of teeth. Right. And then they have things like they bred in enough...
Hold on, can we go back to that?
Yeah.
Most dogs don't have a full set of teeth?
If you get, like, a smaller dog, they just don't have as many teeth as, like, a giant dog.
It's a status symbol.
I didn't know this.
The number of teeth
your
dog
so much.
That's why if you see a pug and they smile, you're like, it's like they've got such a big mouth. It's because they got a lot of teeth.
Huh.
And speaking of smiling, the thing I like about the pugs that I've met, which is one right now, but maybe Ben can tell me if your pug's the same, but they are beautifully optimistic.
Donovan.
Sorry.
I was
flashing back to last year.
Yeah.
All that matters is Magnus right now.
Yeah.
I was kind of in La La Land. But no matter what you do with a pug, they think it's a game and they love you for it. You're like trying to shove him through the dog door and he's like, this is awesome. Let's do it again. And you're a bad dog. And like, I love this game, the bad dog game. You know? Nice example.
The entire breed was just bred to just sit on the laps of like Chinese emperors or something.
Mm.
So they just, that's
it's even more reason why Magnus is a wonderful choice of name.
Mm-hmm. Very royal.
Yeah, your son's brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Yeah.
I could go on and on about
Diana, that Justin, you guys have dogs?
I don't animals or plants.
Not even plants.
Wow.
I'm a free floating
fantastic
oracle. I have to be free.
Yeah, you can't be held back by a plant.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially a plant.
I've been out a lot of times, like even now, and I'm like, I may have to leave early just to make sure that plant gets watered.
Yeah.
It's true. I just don't want the responsibility.
You respect life. That's what it is.
I do, especially around animals. I feel like animals, I would like them to have a kind of life where they have lots of space and freedom in a pack and they have jobs to do and stuff. And I don't currently, I'm not hiring for a pet.
No, that's fun. That's fair. Justin, you?
Yeah, I got talked into our first family dog, and I grew up with a ton of animals, so I was like okay not having them anymore.
Yeah.
But we got a golden doodle.
Oh, okay.
And I want to say I hate the dog, but it's a pretty awesome dog.
You can't help but love.
I know she does not like me.
She doesn't.
Well, in like her first week she was there, I gave her a whack. And she's never forgiven me. So we're like kind of friends. But she loves my kids and adores my kids. So that's really in the end is what matters. I'll have to be the bad guy.
What's the name?
Molly Lincoln.
Molly Lincoln?
Molly Lincoln.
Yeah.
What did your kids name it?
Well, they came. We got her from a place that she was already named. And
a fancy place, like a breeder?
I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah. See how much I know about this. And her name was already Molly. Like a family was going to take her, and then they couldn't take her, so the name was already cemented into that. And my sons were really into Lincoln, so they want to name her Lincoln, so we call her Molly Lincoln. So there you go. There's the
little freedom family.
It's wonderful. Yeah. Full grown now, or is it?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's like a medium sized dog. It's like a 40-pound dog. It's perfect. Huh? Yeah.
Congratulations.
So. Oh, thank you. I'm pretty excited about it.
He shook his head. No.
Next thing you know, it's going to be a half dozen of them.
No.
It's going to be a whole Lincoln clan.
Nope. My sons want lizards, and they can't keep goldfish alive, so I'm just like...
Maybe we do a compromise. We'd like alligators.
Or caimans.
Yeah.
They're not aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I like that little Jurassic Park thing. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on the show. Jim, Diana, Justin.
Thanks for having us.
And then we'll have you back on soon, I'm sure. So enjoy the rest of San Francisco. The weather's great here.
It's amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
How's the weather in, well, Diana, you're always, I mean...
Perfect in every way.
Yeah, and the weather around you is perfect in every way. Well, I mean, you're like in L.A. I mean, the weather's like, you guys don't even have air conditioners or heaters there or something.
I think I closed my windows for a couple of weeks this year.
Mm. Mm, that's not fair.
Yeah, it really isn't.
You're grown-ass men.
That's true. We could move.
We could.
Or you could just open your windows, suck it down, sponge lips.
All right, we'll see you guys in a week.
Thanks, Woo-hoo. Donovan.
Thanks for listening to The Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luters.